We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is a WEEI special broadcast. It's day two of the 18th annual WEEI Ness and Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon, presented by the Arbella Insurance Foundation. Today on Dale and Keith, Terry Francona.
I think it's one of the most special things I've ever seen, not just in Boston, but in the whole country.
Sox GM Dave Dombrowski.
I think it's unique to Boston. I don't ever see this interaction to this type of totality between the different organizations with a specific cause with the Jimmy Fund.
And Sox pitcher David Price.
Something we've done every single year since I've been here, and I know it's gone on, you know, a lot longer than I've been here. And, you know, those days are very special, and it kind of starts friendships that you hold on to for a very long time.
Now, live from Fenway Park, here's Dale Arnold and Rich Keefe.
Welcome to Fenway Park. It is our 18th annual WEEINS and Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon, our two-day labor of love. Our thanks to Greg Hill and those guys who got the day started on a big note. And we're going to jump right into our guests right off the bat, Rich, because...
Let's do it.
Right off the bat, we're going to talk NFL football.
Good.
With former Miami Dolphins wide receiver Jimmy Cefalo is with us. Good to see you, Jimmy.
Good to see you. Thanks for having me.
How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
And Dr. Richardson is here as well. Lovely. Dr. Paul Richardson, who I have met on a number of occasions in the past.
Thank you, Dale. Lovely to be here.
Jimmy, let's start with this. You've never told anybody.
No, I haven't.
That you've dealt with multiple myeloma.
No, I haven't. I was diagnosed about 4.5 years ago, and my closest friends know. I told my daughter last year. So,
really?
Yeah. I told Paul when I first met him. I said, "Well, this ain't going to kill me. I may get hit by the crosstown bus tomorrow, but this ain't going to kill me." And he laughed. But here we are, 4.5 years later, and thanks to the people at Dana-Farber, Paul, and his great team, I'm in remission, so I'm very fortunate.
So what went into the decision first not to share this information with everybody, and then later on to come forward with it?
Well, this is when I came forward with it, right?
Yeah.
Two minutes ago. There are millions of people dealing with things like this, and I didn't want to put a spotlight on me because of a public position that I have. You know, I thought one day if I can help raise money or awareness for multiple myeloma or Dana-Farber or the Jimmy Fund, I would do that, and that's why I'm here today.
Dr. Paul Richardson, as I mentioned, we have visited on a number of occasions in the past. Tell me a little bit about Jimmy's decision and what part you played in helping him reach the decision to keep this between you guys.
Well, I think, Dale, you touched on a critical point, which is it's obviously intensely personal, but I think at the same time... The challenge with Jimmy's situation is that obviously he's facing a diagnosis four and a half years ago that's on the face of it very daunting. What's wonderful is that we've had a journey together in which Jimmy hasn't, I think, missed a day of work practically, has just continued to function at the highest level, been a wonderful partner and patient for our team, and at the same time has benefited from really novel new treatments that are just pills, basically, which allow him to do all that he does. And so I think part of the context of being able to do this in a very kind of measured and personal fashion has been the success of the treatment on the one hand, and also, frankly, Jimmy himself, who's approached it this in such a positive way.
And Jimmy, what led to the diagnosis? Was it just a regular exam? Was it something you were feeling? How did this come about?
It was pure luck. I mean, I'm very fortunate. I had a sinus infection, went to my general care doctor, and he prescribed some things, and 3 months later I was fine, went back for a regular physical, but my protein levels remained very high, and that's a signal to doctors like Dr. Richardson that there is something going on. So I was recommended to an oncologist, a hematologist in Miami, at the University of Miami, and they did a biopsy, a bone marrow biopsy, and what they thought was true, and then they got me to Paul, which is, and Dana-Farber, which is the best thing that's happened to me. So we watch it carefully. Every 3 months I came up and I'd sit with him and he'd examine me and we'd look at the blood work. And the stage I was in, called smoldering, there are no symptoms. There's zero symptoms. In fact, many patients, and Paul can talk more about this, find out they've got multiple myeloma because they're walking down the street and they fall and they break a bone and they find out that they have the disease. I was lucky in that we were able to get after it very early. And after 2.5 years, Paul looked at me and said, stay right there. And he came back in with this very wonderful woman, Caitlin, who is running this this clinical trial for patients just like me. And they put me into it, and sure enough, within 3 months, my numbers were in half. And a year later, I was in remission.
So you have monthly visits at the Dana-Farber.
I did.
How did you explain those away?
Oh, well, I got a lot of work to do.
Yeah, just sort of disappears. travels, you know.
I do a morning show in Miami for iHeart Radio. It's a news program, and I haven't told my audience there. And I debated over and over and over again about that, and I decided not to. I lost my broadcast partner, Jim Mandich, about 6 years ago to cancer, mm-hmm. and he was tough. So I didn't want to bring that in.
My brother had throat cancer recently, and the best day ever was when his doctor looked at him and said, this isn't going to kill you. You like being able to say those words, right, Doc?
Well, Dale, it's the best thing you can say in the world, that we can, you know, number one, we can control this, we can treat it in the long term. Number two, let's just worry about other things. And I think the important message with Jimmy's disease is that indeed when he was diagnosed, he had smoldering disease. What was critical was his disease started to evolve. It started to move in a direction which made me very concerned that, you know, we might be running into some real difficulties if we didn't do something proactive. And that fits beautifully in with Jimmy's own psychology and positivity, which is, you know, let's try and fix this ahead of the curve. And so these three pills that that Jimmy gets as part of his treatment or part of this clinical study are designed to head off the disease before it becomes a major problem. But I don't want to in any way diminish Jimmy's achievement, because he's in complete remission. But also, whilst he started off smoldering, as we call it, there's no question his disease was moving on a trajectory that made me very worried that we would be in trouble if we didn't do something very promptly. So what was particularly nice was to be able to deploy Simply Pills that would allow Jim to continue to work full time, very much gauge how he broke it or discussed this with, you know, family, friends, and his audience. But in the same time, being able to enjoy a superb quality of life. And I think what's particularly interesting is that the biggest challenge, Jimmy, has been the steroids, hasn't it? That's been one
of
the things.
They are. Something called dexamethasone. The other two pills I take, that it took me 3 months to be able to pronounce them, let alone take them. But you know, this was the bane of my existence. Weight gain and just a general malaise that's not the most pleasant of things. But again, there's so many patients taking, you know, they're in infusions. When I sit with multiple myeloma patients, and I do periodically in his waiting room or somewhere else, and I see the condition they're in, particularly when I'm in Miami, you know, doing an easy follow-up for just blood work, you realize how difficult this is and how fortunate I am. They are going through a very difficult time.
We got to ask you a football question before we let you
couple.
Go.
I mean, I got a couple.
You took Brian Flores away as the new head coach.
Yeah.
We were big fans
of his work here.
Yeah. Is this a multi-year rebuild, though?
Yeah, it is.
Feels like it.
I think it is. Yeah, the Dolphins, you know, if you believe all the experts, they'll have a rough season. And I think they probably will. And if they are number one, two, or three on the draft board, I think they take a quarterback no matter what happens to Josh Rosen. No matter what he does, they've got to go and take one of those three top quarterbacks that are out there. You don't pass up a top-notch quarterback anymore in this league. You can't win without one.
Speaking of quarterback, I got to ask.
Go ahead.
You played for the Dolphins from 78 to 84, so your last couple of years were Dan Marino's first couple of years.
Yes.
What were your first impressions when Marino showed up?
He was from Pitt, and I thought, what in the world do we get this jerk for? he and I grew up in very similar circumstances. Italian-Americans, our parents were, you know, blue-collar workers. Very similar, and so we bonded right away. We roomed together at Super Bowl 19. Shula wanted me to kind of be the calming influence on the second-year players now starting the Super Bowl. So he put us together, and we've been close ever since. Dan and I... And four or five of the players have dinner together the night before every road game the Dolphins play, and it's the best part of my job.
Well, it is a courageous thing you did today, and we appreciate sincerely the fact that you elected the Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon to tell the world what you've been dealing with the last number of years. But I can tell you this, you got the best possible care you can get anywhere.
Without question. Dana Farber is the and Paul Richardson, the best two things happened to me in a long time.
It's great to see you guys. Thank you. Doc, thank good you. To visit with you again.
It's our privilege. Thank you so thank much, you. Dale.
Dr. Paul Richardson, Jimmy Cephalo, thank you so much. That's a heck of a way to start.
It really is. How about that?
When Jimmy Cephalo has been dealing with this for a number of years. So
we had a gentleman yesterday who worked for NASA. We had a submariner yesterday.
Yes.
And now we have a former Miami Dolphin joining us. That's a pretty good couple of days here, Dale.
It's been an impressive couple of days, and we're happy to welcome in our next couple of guests. Luckily for us, Dr. Passiani has been with us before, and I've been working on my Finnish for several years.
Yeah, you got
now
that. Nailed it.
To get Dr. Yanni in here. And Ryan Fox is with us as well. Good
Hi.
To see you guys. How are you?
Thanks. Great.
Good.
Great
How
to be here.
Let's start, Ryan, with your diagnosis, a lung cancer diagnosis. When did you get it, and how did you find out?
I was diagnosed in November of 2017. I had had pain in my right hip for quite a long time, and then an MRI showed that I had a tumor in the hip, and we had a biopsy, and I was surprised to hear lung cancer, of all things, so... It was quite a shock.
I'm going to guess, based on what you just said, you're like so many other people we've talked to, didn't smoke, never smoked, and all of a sudden they're telling you you have lung cancer.
Right. And my orthopedic oncologist at the time was quite surprised as well. And I recall she said to me, maybe you have that lung cancer where you can take a pill. And I thought, wow, is that where we're at right now?
Yeah.
We can take pills for cancer? So... you know, fast forward, I'm in this clinical trial and taking a pill for my lung cancer.
Well, speaking just to that, doctor, what do we know about it now and how to treat lung cancer 2019 compared to say 2009?
Yeah, I think there've been a lot of amazing changes in that in the therapy, and part of that is our scientific understanding of the disease. It's not one cancer. We look for genetic alterations. We do a genetic profile of everyone's lung cancer, and then we pick the therapy that matches that individual's cancer, just like in Ryan's case. And we used to start with one pill. She's on two pills, actually, so we're moving up in that as well. And I think it's wonderful to be able to tailor the therapy specifically for individuals.
I think, Ryan, the lesson that I want you to make sure you get out there is you didn't take no for an answer. You weren't hearing what you wanted to hear. You knew you didn't feel right, and you were going back to the doctor saying, no, there's something going on here.
Absolutely, and I think that's unfortunately something that commonly occurs.
And I should say your primary care physician, not Dr. Yanni.
right. But that's typically what occurs, and I think it's important as a patient to advocate for yourself and to, you know, we know our bodies best. And so to go out there and say, no, there's definitely something wrong, and it took a while, but you know, I'm here, and I'm you know, there's no better place. You know, it's an unfortunate situation, but there's no better place to be than I live in the Boston area. I take the train to go see Dr. Yanni. So yeah, I didn't take no for an answer, and here I am.
How have you changed, Ryan? How have things changed? Not just physically, but maybe mentally as well.
It's I mean, I could be here all day to tell you that, but it's interesting. You know, you never think something like this is going to happen. It changes your perspective on things, and you realize that there are so many people out there who are suffering from things, and you never know. Just walking down the street, you know, I appear quite healthy, I'm sure, to people, and you know, no one knows what's going on. And so I think it's just to be cognizant of that and to understand that, you know, we all have something going on. So it's changed me quite a bit.
We've had a chance to visit with Dr. Yanni on a number of occasions in the past. And for people who don't know, he's one of the leading researchers on lung cancer in the world, as far as I'm concerned. How much do events like this and the money being raised assist in continued research for the things you're trying to discover?
Critically important. As I said, science drives better therapies. The reason we have better therapies for lung cancer is we understand the disease better. You need to invest in the science to study the disease, to find the genetic alterations, and then you can turn those observations into treatments, and Ryan's proof of that.
Now, Ryan, you have a wife and two young kids.
Yes.
So when you were diagnosed, your kids were even younger, right? 6 and 3 now.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So when they were... You were
two and four, right.
You can't even explain it to them. What do they know about it now?
My son has a better understanding of what's going on. He was there when my hip was hurting. He understood that something was wrong. And I think it's important to be truthful, at least from my perspective, with your kids. So, you know, they can have a lot of anxiety about, what's going to happen to my parents or, you know. So I think it's been difficult, but I've been upfront with him. And my daughter has some clue, but I think my son now understands. And he understands that I take medication and that... but I'm still quite healthy, which is sort of, I think, probably difficult for him to understand. But, it was, I mean, as a, you know, any parent can attest to, it's difficult to know, like, to know just how to talk to your kids about stuff like that. But, yeah, it's, having kids just changes things. So it was difficult when I first heard.
Before we let you go, Dr. Yanni is a walking, talking cliche. You automatically assume if he's finished, he must play hockey. He's in Billy Jaffe's adult hockey camp this week.
Is he really?
I am.
Now, are you a rugged defenseman? What's like your Tuca. Game?
Mostly offense, but, you know, he's working as hard.
He told you guys this is not a fantasy camp.
He did indeed.
So
you're going to be sore at the end of the week.
Well, they play for keeps in this league.
Oh, I guess. And have you been sore?
Absolutely.
Then he's done his job. Ryan, it was a pleasure meeting you. And
thank
Dr.
you.
Yanni, it's great to see you again.
Great to see you.
Thank
as well.
You guys very much for being in here. And thank you for telling your story.
Thank you.
Appreciate Thanks. It. We continue on here. And the telephone number again is 877-738-1234. 877-738-1234. We're broadcasting live from Fenway Park. This is the WEEI Ness and Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon, presented by the Arbella Insurance Foundation.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Fighting cancer together.
Please help WEEI and Nesson strike out cancer.
Please call 877-738-1234 to make a gift.
Now back to the 18th annual WEEI Nesson Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon with Dale and Keefe.
Back here at Fenway Park, our 18th annual WEEI Nesson Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon. We don't often get to do the front office report in person, but the front office report is brought to you by Cumberland Farms, the official coffee of the Red Sox Radio Network. President of Baseball Operations, Dave Dombrowski, is with us. Good to see you.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Thanks for letting us come to your house to do this thing.
Well, it's my pleasure. It's our pleasure to have you, and of course, with such a great cause. And I will just kind of take a step back here because I was thrilled a minute ago on your previous guest. I was setting up my office watching the telethon, and I saw that your previous guest was Jimmy Cefalo, and he happened to be lived two doors down from us when we lived in Miami. And our children were born together, our oldest daughters, and I hadn't seen Jimmy in a while, even though our wives stay in contact with one another. So I ran down here, had a chance to see him and say hello, and we reminisced for a couple of minutes, but I was completely taken back when he had said that he had had cancer. And I said, Jimmy, I had no idea. And he said, well, Dave, nobody knew. I said, first time I'm coming out with it in 4.5 years I've had it, other than my children knew last year, I told them. So it doesn't surprise me because Jimmy's always been a private person, a great person, but very private. And it was great to see him, and also fantastic that he's doing so well right now.
Just a crazy story, really. I mean, 4.5 years, and I'm sure his phone is going to be lighting up all day long today. All the people, think about all the people that he works with every single day. He didn't miss a day of his job. He's been covering the Dolphins now for 14 years or whatever it is. He does his morning
does
show
the
down
games.
There. And he's been flying up here once a month, and nobody knew. It really is remarkable.
It is. And I think also, too, it doesn't surprise me because I know he's private, as I said. But also, you know, he's a tough guy.
Yeah,
you know?
Clearly.
You play football like clearly. He did throughout the years, played at Penn State, and then went on in the NFL, primarily with the Dolphins there. So you don't get to that point where he is. But what he's gone through, to not say anything to anyone, really epitomizes the type of individual he is and the battle that he has taken on.
The longest-lasting connection between a charity and a professional sports team is the Boston Red Sox and the Jimmy Fund. This goes back to the days of Ted Williams and has continued to this day. I'm assuming it didn't take you long when you came on board in this organization a number of years ago to know exactly what this relationship means.
Well, it did not. And I think, actually, if you're in Major League Baseball, and I've traveled for so many years to Boston and playing the Red Sox with various teams, you know the connection even then, the Jimmy Fund and the Boston Red Sox and what it means. And so you always have a feel of what it is. Now, when you come here, it's a much different feeling because you're in the middle of it and you appreciate it even more. But there was always that connection, and it was always sort of that little awe out there with the connection that took place between the Red Sox and the Jimmy Fund, what it stood for and what that represented for Major League Baseball and the battle for against cancer.
And it's going to be really something for you up close to see your players make those kind of connections and relationships with the kids when they go over to the clinic or when the kids come down to spring training, and to see it up close. Like you said, you've heard about it, you knew about it, but then to see these guys who we all know as baseball players, really that other side of them has got to be something else.
Well, it is, and it's heartwarming, really, from the player perspective, and of course it's heartwarming for the children and their families. And your heart sometimes bleeds because you see what they're going through. But the one thing, it just tells you the type of connection there is. Like, a lot of times you have to push players to be involved in various things. They get so many requests to do things and represent the organization and get involved in the community. This is not an area where you have to say and push them to be involved with the Jimmy Fund and be involved with the children. Their hearts are there. They do anything they possibly can to help out. They go out of their way if they can. And the connections that they form, you can see, because you talk about Brock Holt, and of course, because he's the leader here, but it's also a lot of the other players that are involved. You see the connections that they make. They see him in spring training. They continue to visit throughout the year. They stop over the hospital. And what it means to the patients and their families, but also you can tell the players are happy to do whatever they can to try to help.
The introduction last night is my favorite one of the whole year. And each of the players goes out onto the field with one of the youngsters from the Jimmy Fund. You can't watch that and not get a tear in your eye. Or if you do, you don't have a heart.
No, you can't. You can't watch. I mean, that is tears at your heart, brings tears to your eyes. And again, when you see the looks on the look on the children's faces, they're there with the players, they're running out there. You see how much joy it brings to them. It really does touch your heart, and it's something that you almost can't even put into words how heart-touching it is.
As for the baseball team, Dave, some good news, bad news, I guess, as it relates to Chris Sale that we got this week. He does not need Tommy John. Yet I read a lot of the stuff on it. It seems like he doesn't need it now. It's sort of like a but. He's still not right. What do you make of what's going on with Chris Sale's elbow?
Well, I mean, you're right. Good news, bad news. I mean, anytime you have inflammation in your elbow, particularly if you're a pitcher, that's not good news. The good news is a diagnosis that there's not Tommy John that's recommended. If you need a Tommy John right away, they would do that and get it started, because it's really a 12 to 18-month process, 12 to 14 months most of the time. So that's the encouraging part. Of course, he's out for the season at this time. You got the PRP injections. And I guess the only hesitation, PRP injections, they almost always work. They're one of those things. And so we're hopeful that that ends up working. That's why the doctor gave it to him. He doesn't anticipate any further surgery being needed. So that's the good part. But again, he'll miss this season. And we anticipate him being ready to go for next year and be 100%, which is the good news part of it.
Yesterday, Mookie Betts appeared here in the studio as part of the Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon, and he reiterated again, he loves Boston. He said, I come back here in the offseason. I love everything about it. It makes me feel good as a Red Sox fan about his long-term future here. How do you feel about it?
Well, first of all, I believe him. He loves Boston. He loves the organization. It's one of those where there's a genuine love in his heart for it. He's grown up here, part of the organization. He's part on the field. He's one of our leaders, longevity aspect of it. His family's been involved here. You can tell he just loves coming around. I'm hopeful, we're hopeful, that he is here in the long term. You never can tell about those things, because even though people have those feelings, contracts are tough to negotiate, and there's agents that are involved and all of that. But you can be assured, from an ownership perspective, from a club perspective, we'll do anything we can to try to keep him. You're always looking to try to find that common denominator that makes everybody happy, and you understand where that mutual bond exists. But it's not always easy. And star players, they get a lot of money. And that's the way it is. And the organization here has never shied away from paying people. You can see that. So hopefully we can make it happen.
Dan Shaughnessy recently wrote in the Boston Globe he'd be surprised if you came back next year. I know you did an interview in the USA Today with Bob Nightingale. Mm-hmm. A year after winning the World Series, suggesting maybe you're on the hot seat. Do you feel like you're on the hot seat?
Well, I guess it depends. First of all, I've learned now throughout my time period that there's just some writers I don't read their articles. So that's a better way to do it. So you don't really know what they say at times. You hear about it through the grapevine.
Yes, you didn't read Shaughnessy, is what you're saying.
I don't.
Okay, got it.
Without being specific.
No, I understand. Yeah.
But it isn't just related to me. It's related to other things throughout the time period that I've been here. When you see that criticisms of Bill Belichick, for example, on a regular basis, it's kind of like, geez, if he's not a good coach, I don't really know who is. So I give the coaches, the people, the benefit of the doubt. So, but I know it's a topic of conversation because you have to be blind. Yeah, it is what it is. I love being here. Have a great relationship with ownership. We have a good front office. We've had a good team. We've won 3 divisional titles and a world championship. We're not out of the postseason at this time. You live with it. I think there's a little bit more here. Actually, when I do say that, when I go around the city, and I know that not everybody supports any individual in anything that they do, but the fans here are fantastic. I mean, they're very nice to me wherever I go. I mean, every so often you'll hear that, hey, go get a reliever, go get a starter, but that takes place everywhere. I mean, that's just how it is. So I find that the fans are very good, and hopefully I'm here for a long time.
Are you confident that you'll be back next year?
Well, I have a contract for next year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, so am I confident? I go about doing my business as I would on an everyday basis and hopeful that I will be here. And when you say confident, unless somebody tells me I'm not, then you operate that way. And I do know when people write an article like that, and the one thing I'll say, there's no inside information. I mean, our organization, I mean, there's the people that make that type of decision are John Henry, Tom Werner, Mike Gordon, and I know they're not getting information from them.
You told us several weeks ago that it is an ongoing process of assessing how the season has gone and the good things and the bad things, and that continues on. Hindsight being 2020, do you wish you guys had handled the pitching staff differently in spring training?
Well, yes, I do. But there's a lot of thought to it, and always hindsight is easier. There's different philosophies on that. But it didn't work out the way we had wanted it to. We didn't get off quickly. And so that's a situation that put us kind of in a hole right off the bat. And there were a variety of reasons for it. I mean, I remember Chris Sale in the beginning of spring. We were being careful with him, but he also had a little bit of a problem with his toe, and so we were trying to be careful with that. We were in a spot where David Price has come off pitching a lot in the postseason, Eovaldi-like. But I think in a situation that it'll definitely be something that we reassess going into next year. I mean, I'll guarantee that part of it. And so, and you also see that the other part that's unfortunate, you always have to be careful with pitchers. I mean, because I think it's proven that if a pitcher is tired, they're more apt to be susceptible to injury. But outside of that, at times, you look at guys with good deliveries that get injured. You look at guys that have unusual deliveries that never get injured. But they get injured. And one of the things we had talked about is being in a situation where we tried to prevent injuries, which is really the thought process there. But guys still got hurt. So you see that Sale's hurt, Price has been hurt, Eovaldi's been hurt. So things happen to guys. So I think all in all, it'll be something that we'll sit back and assess. And you know, I wouldn't be surprised if we go into next spring a little bit different.
And just like you were saying, with pitchers around the league, you see these guys getting hurt, and sometimes no rhyme or reason for it. Going back to the Chris Sale contract, he was under contract for one more year. Was there thought to see if he could have a healthy season before giving him the extension, or was there too much risk if he pitched really well that maybe he would go somewhere else?
Well, I mean, you have all type of discussions, so you talk about all things. The one thing I would assure you that when we did the contract and going into the season, we had medical clearance in Chris's case. There was no doubt from a doctor perspective that this is going to come up, this is going to be a long-term problem for him. It was over, it was done, and of course that was with his shoulder. Now we're dealing with the elbow. So, no, I mean, you do talk about those things, and again, you kind of analyze afterwards, but the reality is you're talking about one of the best pitchers in Major League Baseball, one of the top 5. And I was just reading an MLB.com. They've had this series going on all year long where they rank the top 10 at each position for the decade. So they've done center fielders, they did second baseman, they've done all the, today actually there's top 10 managers, and a couple weeks ago they had the top 10 starting pitchers. So one was Clayton Kershaw, who's been hurt.
Yeah.
Number two is Justin Verlander. Number three is Max Scherzer. Number four is Chris Sale.
You're familiar with some of these
number
guys.
Number eight is David Price.
I was going to say, yeah.
So I've lived yeah. with two, three, and four for a lengthy period, as well as number eight. And the one common thing is, that, like, even with Scherzer and Verlander at times, they had a little dip in a year. And mm-hmm. sometimes they don't say anything about it. Their mechanics may be off. They may be a little bit tender. But would you have loved to have had these guys? And they're in their age 35 seasons at this point. Actually, Verlander's older than that. He's 37 right now. So you look at it, and then I think that if Chris pitches the way we think he's capable, and this hasn't been a normal Chris Sale year, but if you're in a position where Chris Sale pitches as he is, we signed him for a five-year contract. I looked last year at, let's say, Patrick Corbin, who's a good pitcher, but we don't put him in the Sale category. He signed for 7 years with dollar at same age bracket at dollar amounts that actually, even though they play the higher amount, Chris gave us some ability to defer money, so the actual present value of it is a little bit less than it keeps being reported. So we thought we got a bargain at that point at 5 years with somebody going to their age 30 year. So no, we looked at all those things, we thought about it, but we thought it was the right move, and I think over time it will be the right move. Just this year hasn't been quite the way we had anticipated.
We can't thank you enough for coming down and lending your support to this event. Again, thank you guys for letting us hang around here for a couple of days too.
Well, thank you. Thanks for coming, and thanks for what you're doing here, because
good
it's
to
fantastic.
See you. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. Dave Dombrowski joining us live from Fenway Park. This is the WEEI Nesson Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon, presented by the Arbella Insurance Foundation.
Former Sox manager Terry Francona.
I think it's one of the most special things I've ever seen, not just in Boston, but in the whole country.
This is the 18th annual WEEI Nesson Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hi, this is Derek Jeter. You're listening to the Jimmy Fund Radiothon. Please donate at 877-738-1234 or www.jimmyfund.org. Help strike out cancer in kids.
So for today, I can't say anything bad about Derek Jeter either.
Yeah, I think you can.
No,
I think it's okay. Come on, it's still a Red Sox event.
We are joined here now by a couple of guests. Now, Chloe Savolos is one of the only people who has come up and introduced herself to me the day before she's coming.
Pretty
on,
good. I like
which
that.
I was impressed
yes,
with. And
very nice.
Chloe is with us. She is the social media coordinator for the Jimmy Fund. What does that mean? Means you're on Instagram a lot?
Yes, I love Instagram. I work on a team of four women, and we essentially...
You and these three over here?
Erica and I do work together, yeah. Yes. But we fundraise for the Jimmy Fund through social media.
So tell us your story. Tell us about how it all started. I believe it was just a sore throat which got
yes.
this whole thing going?
So my boyfriend Luke and I, we were on a trip to Scotland in December, and came back in January, and we were getting ready to move into our first apartment together. And he went to Florida for a work. He was finishing a project, and I was in Boston and had a sore throat, and I found a lump the size of a marble on the left side of my throat, and I thought, that is not right. And working at Dana-Farber, I read stories all the time about patients who find similar lumps on their own, and they feel like marbles, and so I said, I should go to the doctor, and went to my primary care physician, and she told me, you're young, you're healthy, it's probably not cancer, but she didn't like my lump, and so she recommended I get an ultrasound, which I did, had a biopsy, had a CT scan, and then I got the call on the same day that Luke and I moved in together from that same physician who said it probably wasn't cancer, that I had Hodgkin's lymphoma. And
Dr. Ann Lacase is with us as well, a medical oncologist, adult lymphoma program. Is Chloe's story a common one? You just got a sore throat, no big deal. And
absolutely. You know, this is a disease that we see a lot in young adults who present with enlarged lymph nodes in the neck or respiratory symptoms or fevers or night sweats. And people think, oh, we have an infection or something that's certainly not cancer. Yeah.
What is her treatment like? How is this being attacked?
So this is one of the great success stories in oncology. The vast majority of patients with Hodgkin's do very, very well. And our goal now is to really tailor the treatment to the patient, not only to cure them, but to prevent long-term toxicity. So along those lines, Chloe got 4 cycles of chemotherapy, had a perfect response, and is really what we expect to see. It's really a very gratifying disease to treat.
Now, Chloe is a big Red Sox fan.
Yes.
Even before you went to work with the Jimmy Fund.
I'm from right outside of Boston. So
Red Sox fan, you go to work for the Jimmy Fund.
Yes.
And now you're at the Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon.
Yeah, I know. It's very surreal. I feel like I'm in a very unique position where, you know, I knew Dana-Farber was important and did a lot of great things for a lot of amazing people. But I feel even more honored to work here now that I've been a patient, because it is that much more amazing than we describe it as.
And now you can add your story to
exactly.
everybody
yeah,
else's story that you've heard about.
Yeah.
Right. And that's the thing. It seems, Doctor, more and more success stories is what we're hearing.
No, it's really amazing. Immunotherapy, targeted therapies, you know, it's really a new era. It's amazing.
Let's talk about the future, because what you're looking at, you're treating people like Chloe now.
Yes.
But you're also researching how you're going to be treating people 5 years down the road or 10 years down the road.
Absolutely. I mean, we're trying to move away from chemotherapy to targeted treatments, or immune-based treatments work really, really well in Hodgkin lymphoma. So now we're trying to incorporate those up front so that even fewer people need radiation or need more intensive treatment.
How's the apartment? Are you guys still in the same one? How is it?
It's great.
Going well.
It definitely was not what we expected it to be.
Does that mean?
Well, the first day, you know.
Oh, the first day.
Yeah.
I can't imagine that.
Yeah, no. It was definitely very surreal. But he, I can't say enough good things. He was the best caregiver. He was at every appointment. He, you know.
Because how often do you hear that, Doctor, the support system there and how important that is?
Oh, when they know hugely important. Yeah. And we have great infrastructure at the Farber. Our social workers, we have the best social worker on the planet.
We do.
Mm-hmm. And the best social media coordinator.
Oh, absolutely.
We're
going to
add that.
Oh,
trying to help you out your resume building. Chloe, it's great to see you. Thank you for coming in and visiting with us. I told you were going to be great at this.
Oh, thank you. Well,
Piece
thank you for
cake.
Having us.
Dr. Lacase, thank you very much as well.
Thanks for having me.
Good to see both of you guys as we continue on here at Fenway Park. And throughout the course of these 2 days, we get the opportunity to visit with some of our corporate partners in this whole thing. And we've got some corporate partners making their way in right now. But these are old friends. I mean, these are people that we have talked with in the past and visited with in the past. Lori Prunier is with us and David Gill. They are both from our great good friends at Applebee's. It's good to see you guys again.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
How are you?
Great. How are you guys?
I'm doing great, thank you. How did Applebee's go about raising money to help the Jimmy Fund? What did you guys do?
Well, we have an in-house program in which we work together as teams. The thing is, you don't have to go too far to find somebody, whether it's a family member, a loved one, or a friend that's going through a battle, you know, and we get to work with these heroes, and we do anything from a great softball tournament. We do cornhole tournaments, poker. We had bake sale drives. It's amazing. Our dessert sales go down for about 6 weeks because we have so many baked goods that we have to offer. But the teams do a great job in raising money.
And how has that relationship been? This is now your fourth year, I believe. How has the relationship been, Applebee's and the Jimmy Fund?
Unbelievable. I mean, they're unbelievable partners. Each year we get a new patient partner that we team up with. We feature them on every single table in all our 29 locations. This year we had Ann and Brian, which was a mother-son duo that was both going through treatment together. We met them. They spoke at some of our manager meetings. They came to our golf tournament and thanked all our employees for all their hard work to support them. So each year it's grows and grows. Next year we're hopefully going to hit the $500,000 mark.
Wow.
Looking forward to that.
Yeah. And then, by the way, I love visiting with you guys, and you can come and visit us anytime you want, but I really love big checks. And over your shoulder
the
is
size of this check.
Not only is the Holy check smokes. Large, but the numbers on the check are large. David, what are you guys being able to gift here today?
Well, it's great that, you know, you can see the check behind us. It's over $95,000, and like Lori said, it's close to that $450,000 mark. I really want to thank our market president, Eleanor Clancy, the leadership team, the managers in the restaurants, the team members, our vendor partners, and, of course, our guests, you know, because without them, we wouldn't be able to have these types of drives year over year, and it really makes it special for us to be here and, you know, be a part to support the heroes in the journey.
And you guys have probably seen what a no-brainer it is for the guests to come in, see Jimmy Fund, and say, yes, this is money well spent.
The brands just match.
Yeah.
It's perfect.
Well, guys, thank you so much. Sincerely, the check is incredible, but you guys can visit anytime you want. Thank you very much for being in here. Thank you for being
thank
a part
you.
Of this whole thing as well. We love having Applebee's as part of this.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, you guys.
Thanks.
Lori Pruner, David Gill joining us from Applebee's with an incredible gift of over $95,000. We're broadcasting live from Fenway Park. This is the WEEI Ness and Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon presented by the Arbella Insurance Foundation.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.